Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. In today's podcast, I'm speaking with Pat O'Connor and Bibas Batara. Bibas is business group leader for the Azure business in Ireland, and he's helping companies digitally transform. And Pat O'Connor is MD and co-founder of VRAI. Pat and Bibas, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Pat, for people that don't know VRAI, would you mind giving us a little bit of an overview about VRAI and also how the company got started?
Sure. Yeah, I guess what the background to it is, like my background was that I served for 21 years in the Irish Defence Forces. And I guess my last operational deployment was to Syria back in 2012, 2013. And it was obviously there was a lot going on at the time, but there was one day in particular, I was leading a patrol through a village that, you know, we went through most days. Some days we'd even stop. It felt like a kind of a safe zone. But one day I was leading a patrol through that village and something felt wrong and I couldn't put my finger on it. So we came to it. There was a roundabout in the middle of the village. So I decided to go around and go back to base just to do an estimate of the situation. And about 20, 30 minutes later, after we got back to base, that town was overrun. From then on, we kind of got obsessed with the idea, like, how did we know there was something wrong? Like, nobody told us, there was no indicator, nobody threatened us. And people started saying things like, oh, that's your gut instinct, or that's your training kicking in. And I remember thinking, well, that's grand and all, but like, that's not much good to me, because how do I know what part of my training? What is good instinct and how do I pass this information on to other people? Because it probably saved my life and other people with us that day. But how can we help save other people's lives? So I guess that was part of the problem. And I spoke to one of my best friends, Niall Campion, my co-founder of Vray, when I got back. And he felt that a number of technologies were maturing at the time that allowed us to potentially address that. So VR, AI, cloud, IoT. So that was the basis of Vray. So Vray, we set up in 2017 in a small office in St. William Street, and we were making VR content. And what we wanted to do was to create ways of making simulation training more authentic, memorable, and measurable. Until then, simulation training was only available to like the most high-value jobs, like pilots or surgeons. And we feel that technology is now mature to a point that we can bring that to a much wider workforce.
Thank you for that overview. And we're going to delve in deeper later on in our episode. I thought it was very interesting about how conscientious you have been in creating the company in terms of the values that you've had. Tell us more about what you call the triple bottom line. And what does that involve?
Yeah, like, again, myself and Niall came together to set up the company. And like, Niall is an award-winning director, editor, VFX artist. He's had a movie, the top five in Netflix. You know, he was having a really good career. I was in the Defence Forces. I loved my career. I felt like I had a real sense of purpose. So for us both to leave what we're doing to set up something new, we were adamant we wanted to do it in our way, along our, you know, with our values in mind. So neither of us are that financially focused. Like, obviously, we all want some money and enough to do things, but that's about it. So we felt like we wanted our business to not just pursue profit, but also people, like be nice to people, be good to people and planet and the community. And when we appointed our chairman, Gabriel Darcy, Gabriel had been CEO of Bord na Móna, and he had led a complete transformation in Bord na Móna from focused on burning bog or peat to raising a €500 million bond to create Ireland's biggest wind farm at the time. Because he understood that he had a responsibility to create a profit for Bord na Móna and to support the communities around it who are reliant on jobs there. But equally, he had a responsibility to not destroy the planet. So that triple bottom line approach that he adopted in Bord na Móna, we brought that into Vray. And I suppose what that meant was we wanted to make sure we couldn't, it wasn't just lip service. So we adopted B Corporation status as our constitution. So now I have a legal obligation through the company constitution to consider people and the planet. And some of the ways that manifests is we've committed to a gender balanced company. So that means it takes longer to hire and to fill our roles sometimes, but we think it's worthwhile. We're also trying to bake in cognitive diversity. So we've got four teams, so management team, dev team, data team, an asset team. So these are people who have different skill sets, and together we make better decisions. And then finally, actually, one of the latest things we just did, we just started to adopt beehive. So we pay for more bees to be around. And that helps to obviously improve our local environments and our community.
Thank you for that. It's really conscientious, and I can see the foundations you're building there. So if people don't know, tell us about why it's important that training is authentic and memorable.
Yeah, like I guess if you think about training environments, so let's say, for example, like we don't segment our the industries we work in vertically. So we don't just talk about industries. We talk about the types of work. So we talk about risky, remote and rare work. So people who work in defense and security, we feel it's very similar to people who work in, for example, offshore wind. So if you think about your first day at work, you're being deployed 100 kilometers off the north coast of Scotland into the North Sea, and you're being told you need to climb a wind turbine that's the same height as the Eiffel Tower, but it moves 5 meters left to right with waves bigger than your house. Like, how do you prepare somebody for that? You can't prepare them on land. You can't prepare them in a classroom. So we believe that bringing simulation training to that industry, that's authentic. In other words, it feels real. It's memorable. So you develop the muscle memory so that you react automatically, and it's measurable. Like, we feel that's a way to prepare people so that they're not exposed to risk when they're training. And when they're exposed to risk in the real world, they're better trained. So therefore, they perform better.
Tell me about how some of the benefits and your approach versus more traditional approaches. And what I'm kind of looking for here is the data points and how you're leveraging the data analysis and the machine learning within that.
Yeah. So I guess we set up in 2017 as a VR, we were making VR, and we wanted to move towards making VR content for training. And I guess we had this realization that VR headsets are a great way to push data at users that you experience as a virtual world. But we had this insight that they're probably underutilized as a data capture device, because they're essentially an IoT device where you can capture data on what people are doing in those virtual worlds. So that was the insight. We raised 1.2 million euros of investment in order to build the data capture architecture to allow us to do that. And we created something called Heat. So what Heat allows us to do is there's a front end where you create training profiles. So for Mark or for Pat, for Bivas, so that you can track your own progress over time in terms of your training performance. Then the middle part is the VR training. And in that virtual world, we can extract about 500,000 data points per minute. And that data is broadly associated with, you know, your demographics, or your training profiles, who you are. It's also associated with like where you are in that virtual world, XYZ axis, for example, what you're doing. So the specific tasks you're doing in the virtual world. And then also the bulk data around that. And then the final part is we're currently integrating biometric sensors so that we've got these additional data streams coming in that can measure how you feel. So overall, we describe it as we can measure who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and how you're feeling. So these large data sets then are extracted into the cloud. And initially, we can apply analytics in order to measure and evaluate your training performance. But then we can start applying machine learning algorithms in order to predict outcomes. So for example, if you're training pilots, one of the key skills that a pilot needs is a thing called airmanship. So airmanship is made up of all of the skills you need to fly an aircraft other than technical. So there are things like decision-making, observation, communication. And until now, that's been highly subjective. But we can make it objective. We can show you what does good airmanship look like in data. And then we can use that frame in order to predict what new pilots are most likely to develop in the quickest way towards good airmanship.
It's fantastic. A great example for people listening in as well. How much importance do you put into research and development and some of the research findings that you're providing?
Yeah, like research is very much at the center of what we do in Vray. Well, R&D, I should say, rather than research. At the moment, we feel like we're removing people from risk by helping them train in an authentic way in a simulated world. But where I see it going in maybe 7 to 10 years is the people just won't be exposed to that risk operationally. That will be done by autonomous systems. So what some of our R&D at the moment is looking at, well, how can you remove the human from risk, but keep them there in terms of doing that high value human piece, which is decision making? So we're looking at things like teleexistence, where you could have, we'll say, maritime drones that are looking at our maritime domain, and they're looking mostly at empty ocean. But the machine learning algorithms will be trained to a point where the drone can trigger a human in the loop to put on a headset and to telepresence into the drone to look at the anomaly and decide, is that something that needs a naval interdiction, an air interdiction, or is it a dolphin? We don't need to do anything about it. So that's some of the research we're doing at the moment.
Tell us about some of the customers that you're working with, and maybe some examples of where you're solving some problems for them.
Yeah, I think a really, really exciting project we have at the moment is with the Irish Air Corps. So the Irish Air Corps, particularly around helicopter winchman training. So like, these are some of the bravest people you ever come across. And I think their unit is potentially the most decorated unit in the Irish Defence Force in terms of bravery. Because put yourself in their position. You're in a nice, comfortable, modern helicopter, and someone says, right, Mark, get on a rope, you're jumping out, and you have to go down and rescue somebody. That's a very difficult thing to do, and it's a very difficult thing to train someone on. So it's difficult to train them because it's very dangerous to put someone who doesn't know what they're doing to do that. And secondly, it's also very expensive because you need helicopters, you need all the pilots and all that. So what we're doing is we're working with them through the Public Service Innovation Awards to create a virtual reality-based trainer so that they can train winchmen in a simulated world so that it feels authentic, it feels real, but there's less exposure to risk and there's also less cost involved because you're not actually burning fuel and flying aircraft to do it. So that's one example. And then I suppose another example would be in Heathrow Airport. So in Heathrow Airport, we were working with IAG, who would be like the parent group of British Airways and Aer Lingus, for example. So they have this large logistics warehouse called Ascentis, and it's airside. So in other words, to get there, you need to go through security. And they were finding it difficult to train people to get enough staff to work there who were security cleared. But then when they were starting to onboard them, they were finding maybe those staff weren't suitable. So they wanted to find a way to train people more authentically in an easier way. So we created a virtual version of their warehouse so that people could be onboarded through the different tasks that have to be done in the warehouse. And through the data capture capability, you could see where are people making errors, where might they, you know, might they make a mistake that could lead to an injury, and they could improve the training and select people accordingly for that. And like, the outcomes of that is people are training faster, they're retaining information better, and they're more engaged. Because, like, you know, think about it. Are you going to be more engaged by sitting in front of a presentation in a classroom, or putting on a VR headset and seeing something as close to real as possible?
Absolutely. What's really inspiring is the type of customers that you're working with. The names are you recognize around the world. You're a startup organization. Tell us about how important security is, and how sensitive you need to be when you work with some of these companies, because I'm guessing they're going to have a comprehensive and extensive filtering process on who they work with.
Yeah, like I described, security is table stakes. Like, if you want to work with these companies, you need to make sure you're secure. And obviously, when we're speaking about data, you can imagine the buyer's ears are pricking up and they start thinking about data. So we have to make sure that they know that it's safe and secure. And like, that's one of the key decisions of why we moved to Azure. Because what you're trying to do is, like, security is really important. And for a customer, you're trying to remove friction. You're trying to make things easy for them. So if you're asked by a customer, is it secure? If you can point to the fact that it's secure because Azure are providing the security, it just makes people more comfortable. And we're finding with those kind of Fortune 500s and, you know, governments and militaries, the majority we've interacted with, certainly the bigger ones, all seem to use Azure. So their own in-house cloud-based solution is Azure. So therefore, it makes it easier for us to integrate with it, and it makes it safer for them. Like, on top of that, we obviously have to look at our own processes. So we're in the midst of certification for ISO 27001, which is the information security certification. And that's vital. Like, it's for us, data security is just central to what we do, and you have to make sure that we're doing it right. And like partnering with the likes of Microsoft just is a no-brainer for us.
So when you're making that decision, build versus buy, you're removing friction in the sales process and it becomes more straightforward and you can utilize different services as well.
Yeah, like ultimately, we need to focus on what we're differentiating on and what we want to be good at. And for us, that's creating VR and creating the data architecture to extract the data from VR. But like, we're not going to create a new cloud solution to compete with Microsoft and the others. It just doesn't make sense. Equally, we're not going to build our own VR hardware. Like you can see over my shoulder, like we'll use whatever VR hardware the customer wants to use. So it's about focusing on, well, what's the high value work for us? And then what can we get a partner who are better at doing this than us? How can we partner with them? So for us, joining the Microsoft for Startups program meant that we could access Azure Cloud, which is highly secure. We could use the B2B logins. We could use the data analytics functions. And it just means that we can scale quicker. So we don't need to continuously build new architecture. We can use our architecture and build it on Azure.
Bibas, just following on what Pat says, it's really nice to hear how Pat's been able to stick to his core, use Azure as a platform for growth, and being able to fast track success that from looking at some of the protocols they need to be able to be compliant on, he's able to make it very, very much seamless. Has this been your experience with other companies, or how do you set companies up for success?
Absolutely, Mark. And I think, first of all, thanks, Pat, for your continued partnership as well. And I think Pat did talk about is the Microsoft for Startups program. And that's one of our marquee programs that we are running worldwide. And the intent of that program is just not to bring them on board, but actually work with them through that entire journey. As they onboard to the time when they start innovating and when we are exchanging notes on the services that are currently there, and you know, coming back to that build versus buy piece that we're talking about as well, so that our customers don't necessarily land up building things that they can potentially just reuse through the services and the bouquet of services that we have. And that's, I think, is very, very critical for our customers' success as well. You know, the likes of VRAI, wherein they're already thinking about the next 2 years, 3 years, and we are thinking about our next 2 years, 3 years. Are there services that, you know, the likes of VRAI can start putting them in their own roadmaps instead of actually building something? The other piece that we also are very, very cognizant of is, you know, if we just consider VRAI, and it's not a one-size-fits-all approach for Microsoft, and especially for Microsoft for Startups as well. It's something that we do for each and every customer, each and every startup that we work with. We get into the weeds with them and we work through and through. So when we look at VRAI and when we look at the business problems that they're trying to solve and the industry that they're in, it's an industry which relies on security and compliance. That's their biggest backbone, right? And with Microsoft Azure having, you know, 90 certifications and 35 plus industry specific compliances in place, I think it gives, you know, VRAI that comfort as well, that there is somebody else also thinking about security and it's just not them. And I think just to top that up, I think when you look at VRAI, when you look at any of the startups that we work with or any of the organizations that we work with, I think it's also got to do with the fact that we have a plethora of services. And when you look at the business that they're in, you look at data as being a core part of their entire business. You know, everything that they're trying to do is around data. And with all of the advanced services that we have in that space, along with, you know, mixed reality services and, you know, the HoloLenses of the world that we have, you know, it kind of fits in really well. Pat doesn't really need to go to 10 different parties to figure out what does he need to do. We have a massive partner ecosystem. We have a massive ISV ecosystem. We have a massive product portfolio, intelligence at the edge, and so on and so forth. So you know, it is a very, very holistic journey that we are trying to build for our customers, you know, and especially the likes of VRAI, so that they don't have to go to 10 different people for different parts of their overall journey. I think this is probably, a critical part of why we are seeing success in this space with a lot of our customers. And over to you, Mark. I hope that answered your question as well.
It does. From looking in, what is really nice to see is that you've had a clear vision about what you want to do to solve problems. You're very clear about how you've set up the organization for success, but also success for your employees, but success for the wider world that you're in. And then you're very clear on how you're going to go out solving those problems and leveraging technology as an enabler. What I found really inspiring is that you said, although your partner, Niall, is very technically competent, he doesn't come from a software development background, or you don't either, but you have a clear goal about what you want to do, but you're complementing your vision with skills that are out there, rather than knowing that you have to build these things yourself. You can utilize those services. And then you've got the value system very similar to Microsoft as a trusted brand. So it's a really nice example for aspiring startups to go on the journey thinking we actually don't need to figure everything out ourselves. We can leverage our partners and just tell them the journey that we want to go on, and then make that sales process frictionless, because the sales process can go on for such a long time as well. I'd like to thank Pat O'Connor, MD and co-founder of VRAI, and Bibas Abacharia, business group leader for the Azure business in Ireland, for your time today. It's really, really good to have you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.